Mormon Stories Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation. All donations to Mormon Stories are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at mormonstories.org.
Okay, well, let's end today. Our final segment is going to be about what you believe now. So what beliefs have you maintained in from what you've been taught in the LDS Church? Do you still believe? Do you consider yourself a believer? You know, let's start with your beliefs, and then we'll talk about the things you're not so much believing anymore.
This question is really tough for me, because what you're saying is, do you believe or do you not believe? And what I did, I put down many of my spiritual experiences on a piece of paper. It really was three good-sized paper.
It's like three pages of spiritual experience.
Yes.
A lot of good ones.
Very good, you know. And my problem is, what shall I do about this?
Right.
How can this Spirit of the Lord or the Holy Ghost testify in my, at least that's what I feel, it was the Holy Ghost. And then when you read about it and find out that it's not the way it is. And if you just take the Book of Mormon. What is true about the Book of Mormon? I mean, you can hear, and I did it myself. I could go up and say, I know the Book of Mormon is the truth. It's true in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you ask your question, what is true about the Book of Mormon? Is it true that Joseph had the plates? Is it true that Moroni was there? Is it true that he translated it, or didn't he translate it? Is it true what's in it? Is it true that Lamanites are the Indians? Is it true that Jesus was there? Is it true they had horses? They have steel? They have all these kind of things that the Book of Mormon talk about? What is true about it? Is it true that he quoted the scriptures from the King James Version exactly the way, even with the faults and everything? So if you think about what's true about it, and I don't really get any answers from that. It's hard to explain what is true about it. And when I ask people, they don't know how to answer it. For me, my belief now is the Book of Mormon is not historical. I don't think that Lehi and Nephi and all these other sons were living there physically, and they traveled all over the world. The place, I mean. Because nothing in that book you can find evidence, real evidence, like if you're a scientist, you say, yeah, this is it. You find it, this is right. And you said, yeah, good. But one of the general authorities told me when I was a 70, this book is not written to be historical. It is written to give a message from the Heavenly Father, like a revelation. And of course, if you think about that, you wonder, what happened to Joseph Smith then when he said, I call you on a mission to go to the Lamanites? He must at least believed it was the Lamanites. So it's hard. What do you believe? And how can the Holy Ghost witness of things that you later find out is not the way you get the witness of? It's like you giving your wife a blessing and promise her that she will have a daughter. And then when she had the labor and had the birth of a son. So how come you feel that impression that it was a daughter? You are so sure about it that you could give your life for it, but then it's not. Mm. It's hard to understand how can I have that feeling, but then it's not there. So I really have a wrestling time with that.
So the Book of Mormon, you struggle to believe in it as a historical document.
Yeah. I will say like this. I love many things about the church because it's a great community. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful people. You have wonderful ideas about this of being together forever. Your kids belongs to you. And as long as you don't try to figure out who that would be possible, how can my kids be kids when I am a kid to my father, who is the kid to his father, and everybody has grown up, and right. It's hard to get the picture of a family going hand in hand through the woods.
Right. Mm.
But it's a great idea. I mean, life after this, and why don't you work a lot, and you maybe be blessed with better blessings ahead and so on. I like that. But
you like the idea of the plan of salvation.
You know.
But maybe not the same level of certainty that it's true?
No. I can never go back to the church and feel the way I felt
right. Before
this, before my eyes was open.
Right. Your eyes were open.
Yeah, I would quote Jesus when he says to the apostles, some people have eyes, but I don't see. They have ears, but I can't hear. But he said to the apostles, you have eyes and you can see. You have your ears and you can hear. And that's really about the church history, and it leads, of course, to what is the church today. Before, I didn't see, I didn't hear, I didn't even understand.
But you were 70.
Yeah, I can be 80 as well, and it didn't matter. Sorry about the joke, but I agree. But under those circumstances, it was wonderful. I didn't know. Hmm.
Do you still consider yourself a believer in God?
Yes.
Okay.
But sometimes I have questions there as well.
Okay. What about Jesus?
The same thing.
Sometimes
I wonder if this Book of Mormon and all these stories made up or make it look good. Could it be possible to do even with Jesus or...
And the Bible.
And the Bible and so... I'm not putting any effort really in there yet to find out. I try to be clear and solve this problem for myself about the church.
Right.
But that's a good question. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I still believe.
Okay. Right now you still consider yourself a believer. Hmm. A lot of people want to know... how you feel about a bunch of issues. So I'll just list a bunch of issues and you tell me how you feel. Birgitte, if you want to speak up too, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So women in the church, specifically women not holding the priesthood. Feelings or thoughts on that?
My feeling is open up for the women. Let them be in the church with the whole power of the priesthood.
Let women have the priesthood.
Sure.
Birgitte, do you have feelings about that?
I agree, totally.
You feel the same way?
Yes, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. A lot of people want to know your feelings about the churches and the church and its finances. Its money, you know, its lack of transparency, and then the building of the mall. Do you have comments about that or feelings?
I think if the church will be transparent, have the transparency about the economy, it would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in Sweden where we live, everything is open. You can go and look at every company, every church, and they tell us this is the way we run it, and we call it an open administration philosophy because we don't want people to do things we can't understand, and we don't want them to do things that is not good for anybody, really. So I think the church need to open up. I don't think they have to be specific to tell them that we own 2 million stocks in that and that company, but at least they would say we own, the church have stocks for $8 billion or something like that. It would be helpful.
Okay.
And then you asked me about the mall.
Yes.
That's a real problem for me. Not the mall, but why would the church put money in the mall? I can't understand. It's so tough for me to see how they even have time to spend money or things on a mall when the whole world is crying for help. So many people in Africa having problems with AIDS. People don't can have schools. They don't have any teachers. They don't know how to educate themselves. And just take malaria, for instance. If you just put the money there, I have a real, real hard personally to think Jesus the Christ would say, hey guys, let's build them all. I think that would be the best thing now. I don't believe that. I don't. Even if I think it is a good investment as a company or a corporation to have money in the future, probably is. But as I said before, maybe we need more gospel doctrines and Christ said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was in the jail and you visit me and those kind of questions are more important, I think.
Birgitta, financial stuff?
I'm not in that so much.
Okay.
No, I don't have thought about that.
No
so
problem.
Much.
No problem. I assume, Hans, you feel the same about the Book of Abraham as you do the Book of Mormon?
For me, the Book of Abraham is not written by Abraham. It is in Joseph's mind that he felt impressed. Well, look at this. If you read a book, you talk to a writer, before he even writes a book, you can take the one who wrote
Dan Brown,
mm-hmm. before he wrote his special books about the
Catholic Church.
Yes. He take a lot of time, he invests, he reads, he ponders, and in the end he have a picture in his mind.
Right.
And what he do, he did maybe don't put his hat, face in a hat, but he writes down what he has inspiring in his head. And I think this is exactly what Joseph had done. He studied, you understand? In that time, we know that Egyptian was very special. Many talks about those and the mysteries there and so on. And they learned to read those signs and languages. And together with the, I could say, probably could be inspiration as well. But it's not translation.
Right.
It's not.
Okay. What about gays and lesbians in the church? Do you have a feeling about whether they should be allowed to be members in full fellowship? And what about gay and lesbian marriage?
There I have changed 180 degrees.
Okay.
Before I was a stubborn member,
okay.
thinking like Elder Packer, that right. Lord don't do any mistakes. Mm-hmm. Today, I feel like... they can't help that they are created or being born the way they're being born. Like I said before, sometime, don't blame me, blame the Lord. If he like to create people like that, they have to figure out. But I also feel like those people, like anybody else, should be faithful to their partner. I think they should be allowed to get married. To get feeling the real love of each other. I don't want them to be running around in parks and having sex with everybody.
Right.
I don't want to have heterosexual doing the same either.
Right.
That's I think true. There's a bigger problem than the gays and lesbians.
Right.
But I also have another idea maybe I can share with you.
Please.
Sometimes you can feel that the Heavenly Father is given scriptures. They're not fulfilled yet. And there is one scripture I'm thinking about, and it's the Doctrine and Covenants. You talked about the celestial kingdom. The highest level there, you must be married, because to be like a god, you need to have offspring. All right?
Yep.
At least that's what we learned in the temple.
That's right.
Then we know about the first level that would say those are the ones that didn't get married. They will be serving angels, right, and make you feel good. The rest. But then you have an asked question. What about those in the middle?
Right.
And it's not given any revelation about that yet, as I found out. So I will tell the brethren, and I have, why don't you ask Lord if it could be possible to put the gays and lesbians in there?
Put them in the middle.
Sure. Let them go to the celestial kingdom. Let them be married. Let them live there. There's a door opener. I don't know how their revelation would be, but why not?
All right.
The Lord has something there. The prophet has to be a prophet and revelate things. And there it is.
Okay.
They can get married in the temple. They can be celestial and can be happy.
Okay.
At least I think so.
Birgitta, do you feel differently about that?
No. How do you say this? I've never agreed with church policy about gays and lesbians. That has been one question that I have never understand.
Okay.
No. So I think the church has to change and respect these people, and I think they have treated them so bad and their families and so much suffering, and they still suffer a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel very sad about this issue. Yeah.
So Hans, you talked about used to be viewing the church as the one true church and exclusive priesthood authority, and it was either the Jesus' church or Lucifer. How do you view the church now, its place in the world? How do you think about the church?
I'm thinking about, and maybe I would say it have to be a true church among others.
But so one of many true churches for you.
Yes.
So you still believe the church is inspired then?
Yes, I think like all other churches are also inspired.
Right.
I mean, if you think like this, if we today say the leaders of the church from the beginning have faults, they did wrong things, they are just human. That's what we can hear on general conference and so on. And then you say, but the original church or the Catholic Church, they also have fault, but the Lord had to take it away. That means that Joseph had to restore everything. Well, first of all, he's talked about restore the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and then Sidney Reagan helped to understand that it could be a church as well. But if you go back to the original church, and we can also say the same thing, like these leaders were just human. They had the fault, that they maybe did wrong things, but the Lord still forgives them and let them go. So having the same thoughts that we try to take upon us for the Mormon church, why can't you apply that on the Catholic church? So why take it away? Why to restore something when he can forgive the leaders?
Okay.
Do you get what I try to say?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I can talk to a priest, I can talk to a pastor, I can talk to different denominations, and many of them very inspiring, and they lift up people. I've been to quite a few different churches with Birgitta to try to find out what they are teaching, what they're doing, and so on. And you find good people all over.
Right.
You feel that they are inspiring you. You feel uplifted afterwards. And in that capacity, it's nothing different, really.
Right.
But of course, you always talk about the keys. right. of the priesthood. And I don't know the answer there yet. But for me, it's I hope the church will be a Christian church. And those who love to go this way, this is it for them. If you love to go some, if you like to help the poor and the needy, you should maybe be a Salvation Army. If you like to talk in tongues and have spiritual experience with the Holy Ghost, you should maybe be a Pentecostal or something.
So people pick the church that feels best for them.
That's my feeling right now.
Okay. Birgit, anything to add there?
No, I just feel it's important to... you are welcome as you are when you come to church. And now it doesn't feel in our church that they welcome all kinds of believers.
Right.
You have to believe in a special way to be accepted, really.
Right.
And I would love to have that more openly welcome everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
People... If you believe different things, you're okay. We want you here.
Yes. Even if you're doubting things, that would not be wrong to doubt. It would be a way to search for the truth.
Right.
So don't throw them away.
Right.
I had an experience 2 months ago, I think it was. They come to the church. A car, it was two parents. They had a daughter with them. And she had alcohol problem with alcohol. And they asked, can you please help us? So she went into the church. He was sitting there, you know. And no one could relate to this person. No one can say, hey, well, you're welcome. We know how to handle you. We can help you and take care of you. We don't know how to do. To be able to... be in the church, at least you should come with a white shirt and a tie, and you should at least be kind of at least driving a Volvo or something like that.
Volvo.
But as long as you go in the in that form, you're welcome. But if not, you don't, the people, the members, the bishop don't know how to handle it. But we do have a wonderful guy in the ward. He's a former alcoholic. So he's in the 12-step program. So at least he goes out and say, hey, let's talk about it. And he can help her to go to the 12 steps of alcoholism and so on.
Okay.
But what I feel about that is when Jesus was here on the earth, he didn't go to the high council and Caiaphas and the guys. He went out to the people, the poor, the sick, the sinners, and tried to help them. But sometimes I feel like we need to go to Caiaphas first to say, are you okay if I help someone down the road? But we're not designed to do that, at least not in Sweden. I guess I heard there are some programs in Salt Lake City that you can help the poor, you can help the drug users to be better, so on. But not generally.
You would like to see more compassionate service outside of the church.
Yeah, and even inside the church. There, we have a few members, you know, we have problems with drugs and things. We don't know how to do it. We tell them to read the scriptures and pray.
Right.
And many times it doesn't work.
Right. So, just really briefly, there's this idea of living what some call the middle way, which is not believing everything the church teaches, not seeing the church as necessarily the one true church, and all those things sort of in an extreme way, but also not completely leaving and abandoning it, but instead staying in this middle ground where you believe the things that feel right to you, but you don't believe other things, and you obey the things that genuinely feel right to you. But if there are some things that don't work for you, you don't do those things. And I pretty much love all the commandments, so I'm never an advocate for disobeying commandments, really. But do you think a lot of people wanted to ask you is this possible? Do you think this should be possible? Do you think people like this should be in, or should it be sort of believe it all or leave it? You know, do you and Birgitte have views on that?
I mean, that's also a very tough question. And if I go back to my old Hans Mattsson when I was a true believing and things, I would probably say, like, if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. I'd rather you say yes or you say no.
Right.
But on the other hand, if we don't have a place to go, where shall we go? I tried to go to other churches. I tried to go and find out things, but I can't feel, or I don't know people. It's kind of a strange situation. So I love the people. I love to see them. I like to be there. But it's also sometimes very disturbing to hear them talk about this is the only true church and things like that. So Birgitte and I, we talked about it, and we think we are on a journey. We don't know where we should go off the train or go to the first class or whatever. But sometimes we feel like we will put this in the knees of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are waiting. We're not waiting only, but we are open-minded. We try to keep all the doors open, both from the church, if there will be new revelations that, hey, this is wonderful, this is what we'd like to. I wouldn't say no, I don't believe it. I'd like to find out. So right now, though, we feel like we are in a, what do you call it?
Waiting room.
Like you've been to the doctor and you have to wait a while to see what's your problem, and then he called upon you again.
Right.
We're waiting for the doctor to give us the latest news about how we feel.
Do you like to be in the waiting room? Was it better to be in the certainty room?
I would say like this. How can it be bad to believe that you follow our Heavenly Father and His prophets? I mean, I think everybody, if you have a faith in Jesus Christ, said this is His representative, follow Him, and everything will be okay. You will be blessed, you will have all things you need, you will be happy. I mean, everybody likes to be happy.
So you miss it?
I miss that, but I don't miss the knowledge I got now.
You're glad you got the knowledge?
I'm very glad I got the knowledge.
Even though you gave up the certainty?
Sure.
Why?
Because I believe in the truth. And in the end, the truth always be the victor.
Even if it makes you sad?
Well, today I'm not bitter. I'm not crying anything about this. I'm not mad. I feel like I'm very in a harmonized situation. Yeah. And sometimes it takes time. And maybe that's what I need to have patience to find out.
But you're glad you've been through what you've been through.
I'm so glad about that, but I'm so sorry that so many people need to be suffering about this. And that's a real issue for me. And again, I like to say what I said on my mission. I didn't call myself to be a missionary in England. And I said, I is not the one who hide away things from the church history. I'm not the one who didn't say the truth about the history, but I suffer because someone did. And many other people are suffering from it. And I don't like that. I like to be there to help them, what I can do. Or at least I hope they will be treated and the church will change and be opened and tell the real story about the history.
You want the church to be open and honest about its history?
Absolutely.
Birgitte, what did you want to share about those same questions or the things Hans spoke about? Anything else you want to share about?
Well, I think it's really important what he says, that church has to be more open-minded and not hide the true history. And, I agree totally with Hans, what he says. I think it's important.
What about staying in, you know, even though you may not believe everything?
That's kind of weird sometimes, but we have to follow our feelings.
Right.
And our feelings for the gospel is not the same anymore. And we try to do as best as we can to really cope with that. And some Sundays we feel great, and some Sundays we don't feel so great being in the church, but yeah.
So what advice do you have, Hans, for people who are struggling right now in their beliefs? Any quick words of advice for them?
I think they shall find people like themselves. So they need someone to talk to. They need someone to can listen to them and try to understand that they are real serious about it. And groups like Mormon Stories or other groups like that will probably help. I wish the church had a group like that, called it the Sunday School for the Meat Lovers.
Sunday School for the Meat Lovers.
Yeah.
Write that down, whoever's listening. Sunday School for Meat Lovers. All right.
And meat is called symbolic for for more heavy stuff than to drink milk and talk about the easy things.
I think that's what Jared Anderson's trying to do with Mormon Stories Sunday School. I think there are other historians and leaders in the church trying to, by common consent, a blog where they're trying to have more substantive discussions.
Yeah.
But I don't think that maybe the church isn't doing that yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But I hope they will.
Dan Witherspoon is also someone with Mormon
Matters
who's trying to do that. So it's happening, but not by the church. Okay, so what should the non-believers do? You say find people like them. Is that your main advice?
And prioritize your marriage if you're married.
So marriage first.
Marriage first.
Before your doubts and questions.
Yes. And another thing, remember that even if you are a doubter, a questioner, a truth seeker, you have to respect your spouse. If she or he is a truth believing Mormon, they also have a lot of problems. They also go through a crisis. And I think we need also to remember that. Not only feel sorry for those who have doubts, but also think about those that still have their faith and still believe everything to be true. I don't know how to handle it, but don't lose the marriage.
So be respectful of people's beliefs, you're saying.
Yes.
And put the marriage first.
Sure.
Birgitte, what advice do you have for the believing spouse who's struggling with their spouse who's not believing?
That's so hard question. But I think it's really important to be open-minded and try to understand. And also be honest and talk a lot with each other and listen. I think really communication is the key. And don't hide any things from each other. Be open.
But what if they're scared? What if they love the church? They don't want to lose their faith. They don't want to ask hard questions. They don't want to doubt. And then they see that as scary.
Yes.
They don't want to go to that dark, scary place.
And I don't know how to handle that, really, because I was kind of little of that at first, but then I change. But I can see close relatives who has this kind of
Fears,
yes. They just say, don't talk to me about this. I don't want to hear. I don't want to listen. And I think in a marriage, it's so important that you open up and really listen to the other part.
So that's your advice, to really listen.
Yes.
Even though it's scary.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For you, are you glad you did?
Yes, of course.
But your beliefs are different now.
Yeah, it is. And, but it was worth it.
Is your marriage, would you say your marriage is worse than, the same as, or better than before?
I think we have gone through things like this has really made our marriage stronger.
Stronger?
Yeah, much stronger.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. Hans, this is really tough, but do you, if the church were to like say, Hans, what can we do? What should we do? My biggest concern as John DeLynn is that I don't know any advice I would give President Monson that would actually make things better for the church. I almost worry that any advice we would give them, it would be like Sweden. It would be like they try and send people out, start this Sunday school for meat lovers, talk about all the difficult issues, and everybody would get discouraged, and a bunch of people would leave, and then they'd cancel it because they just created more problems than they solved by the church talking openly about this stuff. So it's easy for us to go, be more honest, church, be more honest. But the truth is, I worry that might make it worse instead of better. So do you have any suggestions that the brethren could follow?
I think
that would make the church stronger, or do you think that the brethren should, quote, do the right thing even if it hurts the church?
You know, we are in New York now. There were some airplanes flying in these World Trade Centers, and the whole fell down. But what's happened after that is they now are building up fantastic buildings, even much beautifuler, better than it was before. Maybe that's what the church needs to do. Maybe, I don't mean to have airplanes flying into the temple,
right.
But maybe you have to take away bad things, be honest, and build up, let a new spring and new trees come up and leaves, and there will be a flower again. But I think also that why don't there be prophets here and revelators? At least 15 of them are that. I mean, I don't think the Heavenly Father will say that, I don't care, it's up to you. Why don't you ask Hans Mattsson? I think use your faith, use your power, use your keys. Be prophets, be seers, be revelators, and let it happen. I mean, wherever you do, at least 30% would always follow. And the rest, I don't know. I mean, it's a real tough question, but that's my suggestion. Don't hide it. Talk about it and let the Heavenly Father reveal things through the prophets. And maybe that would be the strongest testimony forever, that we have a living church. A living a prophet and seer revelators, and there will be wonderful for the members and new coming members and the missionaries to see how the church receives revelations.
Wow. Some people asked, you know how sometimes people, you know, start websites or podcasts or initiatives to try and help the church change. Do you think that makes things better, or do you think it makes things worse? Are there things members can do, having worked with the brethren? Do you think grassroots efforts actually make things worse, or do you think they can, you know, make things better, or do you have an opinion on that?
I think it's all what you said. It's bad for the church, it's good for the church.
Right.
Because, like, if you look about Christ, when he was here, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And the people thought that he will deliver us from the Romans. We will be free people. We have their own kingdom, and this is the king. And there were some, I think they were called Solotus, something that more rebellious people in Christ's time. They use violence and so on. And I don't think Jesus the Christ liked that. But still, they put a lot of trouble into the Romans. Now, if you go also look at Martin Luther, he was not that popular among the Catholics, popes, and those priests there. He didn't have internet. So what he did was to let the people read the books, and it was a revelation. Would you say a revelation? No. It was a
revolution.
Revolution, thank you. See, language is wonderful. Revolution, but without him being hated from the Catholic Church, there wouldn't be any other churches. So I think some of this podcast, some of the internet, some of the Facebook groups are supportive. Some of them are terrible in the eyes of the church, and because they feel that they are hurting the church. And of course, being hurt, you try to get rid of them. Or at least you find them as an enemy. So instead of working with them, you fight against them. But maybe in the end, you need all of them. Hmm. I don't know. But I think the brethren really likes to feel like they are receiving a revelation, and then they are telling them that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Even if they got the information from someone else, but
I want to feel like it's revelation.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the brethren are worried? Do you have any evidence or information to believe that they're concerned that there's a problem right now with these historical issues and faith issues? Or would you just be guessing if I were to ask you that?
The only thing I'm thinking about is when Elder Malin Jensen at the meeting at University of Utah?
Utah State University, yeah.
He really said that there is a problem for so many leaving the church. And this is how I think. The church knows that they're leaving a lot of people. When Joseph Smith in Kirtland, most of his friends left him. So what did he do? He sent them out on mission. More missionaries out. Put them in there.
Oh.
Come back. What do the church do now? We have problems. Send out more missionaries.
Right.
And I don't know if he's right, but this is a connection I've done myself at least, that put them out there.
So the lowering of the missionary age and encouraging women to go, you see it as an effort of the church to respond to some of the problems they're having today?
I can't say I know it is, but I'm very certain it is.
That's your theory. Okay. Are you worried about the consequences of this interview? Are you worried that the church is going to discipline you, or your leaders will harass you, or friends and family might make you sad? Or are you worried about any of that?
There is a reason why I waited 2 years, John.
Okay.
It's because I was worried then.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know what would happen, but I'm not worrying now.
Okay.
And if they do anything, I feel quite happy about myself, and I know my Heavenly Father knows who I am, and I talk to him every day, every time I ask for his guidance and directions. And he always answers my prayers. And I don't think he will forget me now. Why shall he stop answering my prayers?
Right.
So I have to have the faith that what's happening will be good for me and for him. I don't know him, but I know at least for me.
So you
had hope for the church as well.
So you feel like you're trying your hardest to listen to Heavenly Father.
Sure.
And so you feel like as long as you do that, you'll be okay.
whatever will happen, it will happen.
Are you do you think it's likely the church will try something, or do you think it's...
I don't think so.
You think they'll leave you alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm not telling anybody to leave the church. I'm not telling any the church is totally wrong. I just say that church made me feel very sad because they didn't give me the whole truth.
Okay.
And because of that, I'm suffering. I suffered, and I can see thousands of others having the same problem.
Okay.
And I learned on my mission, as the leader is, so is the church.
Right.
And someone have to be responsible for this, you know?
Right.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the leader. It must be hard.
Right, right. Birgitta, are you worried at all?
No. I'm not. It feels relieving to tell your story. And I'm not alone. So it doesn't make me afraid, no.
All right. Mm. Okay, well, this has been just a wonderful few hours to spend with you both. I've so loved meeting you both face-to-face. I think you're both delightful people. Maybe I'll just have you end with, if you want to share just a brief testimony of whatever you want to share or close with. Birgitta will ask you to start, and then Hans will have you. Is there anything else you want to leave with our listenership, a testimony of sorts?
Yeah, I can give you an experience. We visited my brother, I think it was in 2010, and he's not a member of the church. And we were sitting outside in his garden, and suddenly there was a man running, doing his exercise on the road outside the garden. And then he ran back, and we saw him. And when he had passed the garden, he stopped and went back and came into the garden. And he kind of excused himself, and he said to us, "I just felt I need to tell you that God loves you." And we really looked on each other, on him, and just... Yeah, I really felt so strong that I should tell you this. And so we asked him, "What church are you from?" And he told us that he belonged to a congregation that was put together with lots of different faith. And we really had a nice conversation with him. And that felt so nice. And a spiritual experience. Hmm. And kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it, I liked it.
And that's how you're thinking about religion and spirituality, mm-hmm, going forward.
Yeah.
Very inclusive. Mm-hmm. Hans?
Just to add, as what Birgitta said, is sometimes you need a sign from the Lord. We're not seeking it, but we felt like we were really depressed. Not really depressed, but we were worried. We felt sad, and here comes a guy running back and forth, and comes in and said, "I don't know why, but I need to tell the Heavenly Father loves you, that Jesus loves you." And we just felt, wow, he knows us, and he's sending in a note. We never met the guy. He didn't know who we were, but he was there. And I just like to say like this. In my life, my wife is so important. And not only my wife, but my love for my wife. And we have today 5 wonderful children, really wonderful. And we have 12 grandchildren. And I just feel that I hope they will go through life with the truth. We don't want them to go through things like we have done. We hope the church will be so brave that they will at least give the information. And then, of course, it's up to them. But I think talking about the marriage, talking about your wife, talking about how you feel, that's kind of a testimony in a way that I feel very strongly about. And I also like to say one more time, I really do love most of the brethren I work with. They are wonderful people, Christ-like people, and I love to be with them. And I think also I can say they're really honest. I can't say that they have a different agenda. I can't say that. But so I want you to know that I love those. Maybe we talk about difficult things, and maybe I feel I criticize them, but I do love them, I do appreciate them, and most of all, they haven't asked to be the leaders. They just said yes to a calling, and makes a lot of difference for me.
Yeah, having been one.
Yes.
Well, Hans and Birgitte Madsen, thank you so much for coming on Mormon Stories Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. It has been a really uplifting experience for us.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, John.
Take care.